Welcome back. You're listening to the talk show on East London Radio. I'm actually off to a wedding party later at the Frontline Club in Paddington, where a few weeks ago, the famous, I mean, he was not famous then, but he became really famous, Christopher Kiley, ended up being the whistleblower of the Facebook scandal and originally Cambridge Analytica scandal. To be honest with you guys, I'm not really surprised by what's going on here. I mean,
no, not at all.
We obviously, it's terrible to know that all these people are using our data and everything, but are we really surprised? I mean, I've always been really suspicious about Facebook.
I've been saying this for absolutely years, that they take everything and they sell it. And
I mean, it is their business model, right? So why is it so scandalous and why are people so outraged?
I think, first of all, I'd agree, it's not a surprise. I mean, there's been a lot of, I think a long time before this happened, people were complaining about adverts being linked to chats. People were like, oh, you know, I've been talking about something in Facebook chat and then it will come up with the suggestion in adverts. And so, they're like, how are they doing this?
So that's called surveillance capitalism. And it's actually, it was not there because of Facebook. It was originally because of internet and Google.
Okay.
But yeah, so that was the first thing.
Yeah, and then, I mean, yeah, I'd agree. It was probably only a matter of time. I mean, the power Facebook has, you know, in its user base is, it's kind of ridiculous.
This is the thing.
Really.
You don't get $60 billion by being an ethical businessman. That doesn't happen. You can be one or the other. You can either be a multi-billionaire or you can be ethical in your business practices. And has anyone looked at Mark Zuckerberg? He looks like an android. He doesn't look like a human.
Yeah, I mean, I've probably not been paying as much attention to it as the two of you, but I don't know. Whenever I've seen it, he just looks so smug. Yeah, like, he's just like, well, I've got like a massive team of lawyers behind me. Mm. I've got a billion-dollar company. You're not going to get me.
Yeah, so. Well, that's the thing. You're going to need an even bigger billionaire to sue him into oblivion. It's not going to happen. Who's going to do
Trump.
That?
But I was going to ask.
If he's a billionaire, he's
probably not worth as much, actually.
No way near. I wouldn't thought so.
But so you're saying you didn't give it too much of an attention. Why? I mean, what is your relationship to Facebook, if I may ask?
So I'm not as active on Facebook as I used to be. I do have a Facebook account, but I only use it for chat. It's interesting, whenever I speak to people about Facebook, they're like, you know, I wouldn't delete it because it's still like, because it's convenient, you know, because I need it for you know, if it's for uni or whatever. That's what people say, and to me, I'm just kind of like, actually, if I deactivated Facebook, what would I be missing out on, really? I don't think...
It centralised the internet, didn't it? It just made it so that you didn't have to go to another website to get your news or to get your funny cat pictures that someone put up or to see what someone's been up to this weekend. You could get it all in one place, and that's just a laziness. No, people didn't want to go and type in a web address to go somewhere else because you can get it on one Facebook and that's enough for people, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny you're saying this. I'm going to surprise you both, but I've actually registered on Facebook only 2 years ago.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. So I've resisted for so long because I have always been very suspicious about Facebook. When they started saying that everything you put on Facebook will never, ever be deleted, I was like, what is this? I mean, what is going on?
Feel you were missing out in that time?
So that's the thing. And that's why I don't think so. I think it's probably the case when you live in on the other side of the world and you just really want to keep in touch with your family and friends and just sharing some pictures, but now you can do this with other platforms anyway. So I guess maybe when it was created originally as a social network, maybe it was interesting, but it has not been a social network anymore. I mean, now we're talking about a platform who is using our data with advertisers and everything. I was watching a show, a TV show the other day on French television, and they were actually looking at the settings of Facebook and everything, and you can actually see what Facebook has about you and has on you. And at a certain point, the TV shows show exactly what they have been selling to. I mean, basically, your data has been sold to a lot of companies like ASOS, lots of different online platforms, eBay and everything. Mm. And you would think it's actually companies that you've chose yourself, but it's not. Mm. They sold your data to these companies, and you've been thinking that you're actually, it's because you've been buying from them.
Yeah.
But it's not true.
They're just targeting you anyway.
Exactly.
To get you, but where's my money for this? That's my data. Mark.
Yeah, so that's another thing. So you would think Facebook is free, and that's amazing because you're actually using a funny platform for free. But it's definitely not for free. And all these datas have a price. It's just that we're not paying because we're actually offering our datas.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, that's the thing as well, is people offer it up. So it's like the whole Cambridge Analytica scandal. It's not technically illegal what they've done.
Exactly. Is
it? Because it's all public data.
Yeah.
So they, I don't, if anyone doesn't know about the Cambridge Analytica scandal, what happened was there's a third party company called Cambridge Analytica who made a personality quiz that they disseminated through Facebook. And it was something like only 500,000 people downloaded the actual app quiz itself. And it took all their data, which is fine, but through exploiting the way the Facebook page was set up, it also managed to scrape the public data of everybody who was in their friends list, whether they had this app or not. So that's a bit sketchy there and then.
Yeah.
And then it's come out that Facebook not only knew about all these exploits that they could have easily closed down a long time ago, but they've also been using them themselves to sort of for similar purposes. And while it's not illegal, it's certainly not,
but it's cool. Interesting you say that, because do you remember all the stuff that came out about Google, Amazon not paying their taxes, not paying enough taxes in this country? And you kind of think, well, it's almost similar, you know, they do make themselves out to be kind of ethical, sustainable businesses. And I was actually reading something before came on air, and it was sort of saying that actually a lot of investors are attracted to Facebook because of their kind of renewable energy targets. And apparently those are really, really strong and quite impressive. But actually, how much is that kind of offset by what they're doing in terms of this?
Can't tell, because they're not the most transparent company. They intentionally make their terms and services really convoluted, so they know nobody's going to read them. That's not them being forthcoming with information, is it? That's them trying to muddy the waters so you don't quite know what they're ever up to. And it's the same thing what happened with this the Senate hearing. He went into this big Senate hearing where he was going to get grilled by all the lawmakers in America, but it just didn't happen because he managed to weasel his way out of it by giving little... They threw a load of...
Saying he's sorry all the time, yeah. Although he knew, obviously, what was going on for a very long time.
Exactly. And it was... I don't know if anyone watched it. It was like a bunch of 90-year-old men trying to get the internet explained to them.
That's true.
It's exactly what it was, by this sweaty little android man that's sitting on a booster seat in front of them. It was a farce, really. I thought he was going to get a full-on grilling, but he didn't. And I was quite disappointed by that.
Yeah.
But do you think he should resign? That's what I'm interested.
I mean, he will never resign. No. I mean, I'm sure he will never. And if he will ever resign, he would probably, you know, sell his company for billions or trillions to Apple.
Well, yeah.
Why not, you know? I mean...
Further monopoly. But I don't think he'll resign because he's a megalomaniac, isn't he?
Yeah. But I guess it's... I think Facebook, and we've been discussing this with people around me, and because obviously it is a big thing, and even if it's not a surprise for some of us, it just helps you to rethink how you're using platforms and how they're using you and your data, basically. So it is a very interesting topic, and I'm sure we'll just discover lots of things around this. Because, I mean, the thing is that there will need to be, like, a law around it. I mean, it's still extremely blurred. It's still extremely grey. And that's why I'm sure he's going to, you know, defend himself very easily. Because there's nothing around it to protect our data individually.
This is another thing. It's like, it's completely unprecedented. It's why it's not fair to call... You can't even really call Facebook a monopoly. Because it's not like they've gone out of their way to monopolize social media. It's just that no one's there to compete with them.
But that's the thing. I mean, it's not... 7 or 8 years ago, it was more of a monopoly. But now, I mean, it's so... I mean, you and I could start a social media app if we wanted to, you know.
I suppose there's we just wouldn't have any hope of competing.
There's absolutely loads. Yeah. And you've got to ask, why are we so dependent on Facebook? You know, it's just... It's a brand, is what it is, really. Mm. And it's convenient because everyone's on it. But actually... You know, it was like what MySpace was, you know. That was probably, well, before my time. But
I loved MySpace.
Yeah, I loved MySpace, obviously. I mean, that was a great thing. Yeah. And I mean, it was not following you everywhere. You would just, you know, listen to nice music and get in touch with your musician mates.
Tom from MySpace never stole any of my data.
Right. I like Tom as well.
What's he doing now?
Well, oh, God knows.
Bring him back, that's what I say.
So can I ask you why you registered on Facebook in the first place, and if you're actually using it exactly the same way that you used to do?
Well, I was in secondary school when I first joined Facebook, and it was primarily because everyone was on it, and I didn't want to miss out on, you know, social things, I guess, because of it. But now, no, I don't. I definitely don't use it in the same way. I'm definitely not as active.
So what would you use now?
Well, I don't actually need a platform like that. I don't need like a video sharing, photo sharing. Like WhatsApp is fine, you know. If you know, you can make groups on that. Who are they owned by?
Facebook.
Well, yeah.
We are stuck, guys. We're stuck. So, okay, Mike, when did you register, and how were you using it back then?
Ages ago, and I was using it to keep up with... It was all just inane quotes that my friends put up, little pictures of what they're up to, various coffees they'd bought, things like that, putting up just inane nonsense. And it reached the point where I realised I'm only going on here to check my birthday messages. It's purely selfish. I don't... You know, all the stuff that's on there, nothing was that interesting that I thought, I've got to stick around. I've got to log into this every single day. So after a while, I just sort of stopped using it.
So do you know Black Mirror?
I do. No, I've not seen all of them. But
So I've not seen all of them either because I'm actually scared of what is going
on
there.
It's too frightening to watch.
It is extremely scary in a sense. And I'm really scared it's going to happen to our lives very soon because it looks like it can. Mm. But there was this, you know, this episode about Facebook likes around. It was not Facebook, but yeah. And so apparently the addictive thing about all these social platforms is the like thing.
Oh, yeah.
So you're saying you're going just for your birthday.
Yeah.
Fair enough. People are actually selfishly going on Facebook, Instagram and everything just because they want to see how many likes they just got.
It's been proven it releases endorphins. Yeah,
exactly.
It's a little ego boost.
It has been psychologically studied just to make sure you're going to be addicted because you want to see how many likes you're going to put. And I'm exactly... I mean, so basically I was... I'm funnily enough not as much as obsessed by Facebook as I am with Instagram because I actually like Instagram more. And it's exactly, I mean, I try to be like a normal person without, you know, grabbing my phone all the time. But I end up grabbing my phone a lot when I've just posted a picture and I just want to see how many likes.
Yeah, you're jonesing for your likes, aren't you?
It's terrible, isn't it?
And not only that, but then if you don't get any likes, you're in a worse off position than if you hadn't posted anything in the first place. Because you post something, you're like, you're really proud of it. You're proud of this picture you've taken.
Yeah.
And you put it on Instagram, and then 6 hours later, you think, nobody's liked it. Nobody likes my photos. And then that pushes you into a further depression than if you'd even put the thing up in the first place.
So I think we might have covered in a few minutes' time the debate and the dilemma that everyone has around Facebook and why it is still working. Yeah. I mean, basically, we know how unethical it can be, but we are still addicted to it in a certain way because we just don't want to be out of the group.
Can't be
out of the loop.
And out of the loop, yeah. So that is pretty scary. But I mean, I guess we'll still have to, you know, discuss this in the coming weeks maybe.
Yeah, I think this is gonna escalate from here. Or it might not, or he might just get away with it and say he's gonna put some things in place. And he just won.
Nothing.
And weren't you shocked that everything started in London, obviously, with this Cambridge Analytica, and was a strategy to help Trump?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
Well, that's the weirdest part. And that's when it starts getting really sketchy, because it's like, individuals such as Mark Zuckerberg shouldn't... He's a private individual. He shouldn't have that much power over, like, political the political game. He shouldn't be able to influence voters using his platform. So I think that's where it starts getting, we need some laws in so that one individual can't do that.
Yeah.
Essentially.
We've been talking about billionaires, but what about millionaires, Michael?
I mean, it's funny, isn't it? It's just hearing that £1 million, it's not, it's just not what it used to be, is it? But yeah, so it's funny actually. So I've come across two bits of news related to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire this week. And the first one is about a new stage show for the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire coffeeing scandal, which happened back in 2001. It's an amazing thing, 17 years ago.
Wow.
So what happened? Tell us.
So essentially, this person, Charles Ingram, and his wife. So Charles was the contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And he basically arranged with his wife where he would... so he'd answer the questions and then his wife would kind of cough the code for the right answer. So basically three coughs if it's C, one cough if it's A.
When you say it like that, it doesn't seem very subtle, does it?
No, I mean, it's amazing to think he thought he'd get away with it. He was actually, quite interestingly, he was actually a writer before. So I almost wonder if he kind of knew that he'd get caught. I don't know. I mean, you surely can't be that thick.
It doesn't seem like the perfect crime, does it?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just a game between them to see how long they could, you know,
get away with it. Yeah. Maybe they just didn't think they'd get away with it. I thought, no, I'll just give it a try.
Yeah.
But in reality, I mean, they probably made quite a lot of money out of the publicity of it. So... probably even more than being on the show. So, so it's just a new stage show, and it's basically, it's kind of reflecting what happened. It's come out with some quite mixed reviews so far, but I don't know. Personally, I'd be quite interested to see it. I don't know what you guys think.
Was this in the West End?
So this is in the West End. Yeah.
But I mean, how can you do a show out of this?
Yeah.
I mean,
is it a musical?
Yeah, exactly. Or
that would be funny, wouldn't it? I don't think it's a musical.
Is it a stand-up?
You can tell I've really well researched.
Yeah, I know. Who's playing Tarrant?
Who's playing Tarrant? A guy who doesn't actually look anything like Chris Tarrant. He looks more like Kevin Bacon, I think.
Okay.
Probably. Would that be fair to say?
But
yeah, it's... that was really it, really. I don't know if there's any other thoughts about...
that links neatly into the other thing that's been happening with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Yeah, fortunately, I'll save it with my second piece of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire news.
Are you just teasing it?
Is that Jeremy Clarkson will be taking over as the new Chris Tarrant on an anniversary series of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
It's not going to be called that anymore. It's going to be Who Wants to Be... a Millionaire.
That, exactly, yeah. I mean, we were chatting off air, and I think it's a stroke of genius, to be honest.
Probably,
because, you know, the quiz shows are... They went through a period of... well, actually, quite a long period of being incredibly popular. But I'm trying to think what ones are still going now.
I mean,
there's Pointless.
You got The Chase and Pointless, and that's it. And then you got that stupid one where they push the coins, where it's the shove a penny thing.
What's that?
Have you not seen that? I don't even know what it's called. It's you know the shove a penny thing where you down the seaside where you put in the pennies, and it knocks the pennies off with a moving shelf.
That's a whole program.
That's a whole show now.
Wow, they're really scraping the barrel off TV now.
That's what I was saying. It's it's not exciting,
that's
but
remarkable.
They pretend that it is.
But I mean, I don't know, I'm kind of surprised that he's agreed to do this, Jeremy Clarkson. I'm not saying that he's, you know, some sort of, like, bastion for, you know, quality TV,
But didn't
it, it's just not very him, is it?
It doesn't seem it, no. But he got chucked off his other show, didn't he?
He did, yeah, so...
Tell me about him, because obviously, I mean, that's pop culture, and I'm a bit of a foreigner here. So how would you describe this Jeremy...
Relaxed fit denim.
Okay.
That's exactly how you describe him. A little tight perm type thing. I don't know what's going on with his hair. He's kind of... He has a column in The Sun, and he likes to complain about things.
Okay, so would you actually say that he doesn't have the perfect charisma for...
not the perfect moral code, I would say.
Not to be giving away money. He don't seem like... He's not like... Chris Tarrant's quite friendly, he seems, doesn't he? Clarkson's not a friendly guy, is he? He's a grumpy old...
But that isn't that what you need? You need something like that. I mean...
Someone who doesn't want to give him money.
Yeah, just doesn't really care, you know.
Well, I don't know. What channel is this going to be on?
I presume ITV. ITV.
It's not Amazon.
No, yeah. Definitely wouldn't be the BBC. But,
so why didn't they use the previous person, presenter?
What is Tarrant doing now with himself?
It's got to be in him.
Is he with Tom from MySpace?
He might be. He's out there hanging out, spending their millions together.
They all just get together and reminisce on old times.
Yeah.
When they were on top.
Tarrant.
But no, I think... I mean, I've not watched the new series of Top Gear, Mike. Have you?
I watched a little bit. It seemed... It weren't the same magic.
No.
Or whatever it... Yeah, not... Top Gear, and then their other one. What was their one? The Grand Tour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't the same as the old Top Gear. It just wasn't. No. Just didn't have the...
So, yeah. I mean, yeah, I think... I will watch it, probably, although I don't watch TV at all now, so... but yeah, you need to revive television. I mean, do either of you watch kind of normal TV anymore?
I do, actually, yeah. I mean, I love television. It's just that, yeah, I mean... Sometimes you're just a bit bored because there's nothing really happening and you just switch to Netflix very easily.
Yeah.
But
so, yeah, I do that. I don't watch TV. I don't watch like broadcasts. Yeah. I do it on my own terms now. So if I can't sit down and binge watch a series, then I'm not interested in it.
iPlayer has a lot of good content. I realise we've completely strayed from the topic here. But
true, I agree.
Yeah.
That's how I discovered Peaky Blinders, actually.
Oh, everyone's been banging on about Peaky Blinders, and I think I'm going to have to cave in and start watching it now.
You still haven't?
No.
Oh, my God, I'm so surprised, Mike.
I'll reach a point, right?
Mike, come on.
No, exactly.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not
quite aware of all these things.
I get this everywhere I go about Peaky Blinders, right? So this is my problem, though. If someone tells me, oh, you'll really like this, I reach a point, like, don't tell me what I'll like. And I'll never watch that.
All right, yeah.
I'm one of those guys.
And contradiction.
And I've missed out on so many good things because of that, because of my own stuff.
What else have you resisted?
So it's under your own terms. Well, you know what? You'll never like Peaky Blinders.
No. Oh, okay, right. That's fantastic. I'm going to go and binge watch all three seasons or four seasons now. But I did that with Breaking Bad for a while.
I think everyone did that.
Everyone did that with Breaking Bad, yeah. Yeah, they just wouldn't accept that it actually is the best thing ever.
Yeah, it is.
Until after watching it.
So funny. What would we do with £1 million?
Oh, good question.
I mean, as you said...
You can't even buy a house in London for that
now. Nowadays, true, actually, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you can't do much.
It's terrible.
I could probably...
You know what? If I won't be able to buy a house with that money in London, I might just end up... buying a house in, you know, south of France, Italy.
That'd be nice.
Oh, you know, Greece.
It'd be hard not to be selfish with it. Like, you could just have a really, really good holiday with that money.
Yeah. But I guess, that's the thing. I guess when you win some money for the first time, you might go selfish and then try to be, you know, sharing after.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. If I was a millionaire, I wouldn't consider myself, I ain't got philanthropy money. Just because I've got a million, I'd be spending that all on me, I think.
Yeah,
a couple of houses. Well, a couple of houses in Devon or somewhere.
Nice. Yeah, that's nice too, actually.
Yeah.
Well,
what's next then, guys?
What's next? Do we have some music before, you know...
So we'll be discussing next the quite heavy topic about the pensioner who killed I can't actually remember his name, but I'll have that information
really
when we come back. And a very different topic about the cat cafe.
Yeah, maybe it's just easier to have a cat nowadays, and you know, just to have all our stress.
I want to hear about this cat
where are
cafe?
The dog cafes, that's what I want to know.
You can take a dog into any cafe if you put on a pair of sunglasses. And,
no, but cafes that keep dogs, although it would be really hard work, wouldn't it?
Unfortunately, there's a sad topic coming up here because a burglar has been killed breaking into a pensioner's home. Michael, did you want to discuss this any further?
Sure. So, it's obviously been in the news a lot over the past week or so. Tributes have poured into the burglar who was killed breaking into the pensioner's home. So if you know that much about the story, but essentially what happened was this one of the burglars called Henry Vincent. So he was 38 years of age. So he broke into this pensioner's home whose name is Richard Osborne Brooks, age 78. And he broke into to his home armed with, well, either him or his accomplice, armed with a screwdriver, which is an odd weapon of choice. But
I was going to say.
And the pensioner decided to kind of defend himself and stabbed the 37-year-old Henry Vincent to death. So, it was interesting. I mean, we were chatting a little bit off air, weren't we? And there was actually a quote who I can't remember. I can't quite remember who said it, whether it was, I don't believe it was him himself, but sort of saying that actually, you know, if this happened in the US, you know, we wouldn't be having, there wouldn't be this debate.
Probably.
Well, the stand your ground laws, aren't they? I think they call them. Whereas if someone comes on your property, it's game on.
Yeah, so you can just defend yourself, right? And this is actually not only a U.S. thing. I guess it's more about, you know, having some armed weapons.
Weaponry
at home, yeah. But
so, I mean, another interesting thing that's come out of the story is that the family of Henry Vincent have been laying down flowers close to the house of the pensioner. But they've been kind of destroyed and taken apart by local residents and people that are kind of angry. Yeah.
And they keep putting them back. It's become a little battle now, hasn't
it? Yeah.
They'll put flowers up and then someone will take them down and then they'll put them up. And it's becoming a bit of a farce, really.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just reading some of the quotes now. So one of the people who took down some of the flowers, he goes, "These people are scumbags, scumbags, scumbags. We've had enough in this country of scumbags. If you don't know why I pulled the flowers down, then you aren't a human being. Would you go around allowing someone to stab your parents? Would you allow someone to come round with a screwdriver?" So, I mean, people are very angry about this. You know, I find it...
It is very sad.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, you can't really blame, obviously, the pensioner because... First of all, I mean, I'm sure that at a certain age, you are probably overreacting. Mm. And if someone, I mean, if you see someone with a screwdriver, you're pretty sure he's gonna, you know,
and it's stab
come
or be
to
stabbed.
Say hi.
Yeah. He's not coming for a nice chat, is he? He's in your house
exactly.
at midnight.
But then, I mean, obviously, I mean, this a 37 burglar, you want to think. I mean, what were you? Why were you there for? And why would you bring an accomplice? And why would you go with a screwdriver, just you know, to a very old man's house? I just don't get it.
They were career criminals that sort of have been known for preying on vulnerable people.
Yeah.
But like, do you think he has a right to be remembered by his family? He does, surely, doesn't he? They're going to want.
They stay his family. He made
a big mistake. Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
A few poor life decisions, maybe.
But
that led to his own
people recover from things like that. You know,
you
people go to prison for a year or two and turn their lives around. You know, that happens all the time.
All the cards were saying, talking about what a great person he was from his family's perspective. You know, going, oh, he's too good a human to walk the earth and things like that. I suppose they've got their right to express those feelings, but they're not very objectively true, are they?
Well,
if you're breaking into a pensioner's house armed to rob him.
Mm.
I don't know. But then what do? Do you just sort of look at this guy and say, oh, yeah, you're a pariah now. We're not allowed to honour the burglar's life in any way.
And we don't really know what happened. So was there an argument? What was the accomplice doing? I mean, what was going on here? Because obviously, I mean, it is a bit weird that you, first of all, I find that it's a bit weird that you go in with an accomplice if it's to go to a pensioner's house where you wouldn't really be a threat.
So, I mean, they were talking about it on... I watched a clip on this morning in the week, and they were kind of saying, well, you know, you can defend yourself, but at what point does it become, you know, you've stopped defending yourself and it becomes, you know, you're attacking the other person. So that's the difficult line.
Because the law says that you can use reasonable force.
Yeah.
But what is reasonable?
Yeah, and I mean, accidents can happen with reasonable forces, I guess.
Well, it's like the previous thing that this is everyone's a previous case that everyone's been comparing this one to is the Tony Martin case.
Oh yeah,
from years ago. He was a farmer. Two people broke into his farmhouse. He happened to be armed with a shotgun, and he shot him.
He had the shotgun illegally, didn't he?
Was it illegal?
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I didn't know that. I thought it was legal for fun.
I mean, that to me, it's. If you have an illegal weapon, it's more open and sharp, really.
If they come at you with a knife, is it fair to shoot? Is that reasonable to shoot him with a shotgun? That's the argument. And as well, I think another argument with this was that he shot him in the back, so it was clear that at that point they'd already turned to leave. So they'd tried to de-escalate the conflict by fleeing, and he still shot him in the back. So that seems a little bit more sketchy.
What happened with that case? Do you remember?
I think he got... He went up prison for quite a while, but I think it got overturned in the end. Look at me speculating here on the law. I don't have a clue, but I'm pretty sure he got away with it after a while, after a long protracted legal battle.
Yeah,
I mean, that's unreasonable, shooting someone in the back, stabbing someone who's coming at you with a stabbing implement. Probably not unreasonable.
Yeah, I mean,
what have to say.
It's hard to tell, isn't it? I mean, and as you said, we're still not entirely sure what really happened there. I mean, obviously, I'm sure everyone in the burglar's family must be devastated. But on the other side, I'm sure the pensioners must not really be happy of what he did. But what could he have done? I mean, it's just a very tough issue. And I guess that's why it's in the news as well. You just don't really know what to do.
Yeah, I think it's just people really angry about this, which I find, you know, I think that just says a lot, really. It's... it's interesting, but anyway, well.
What would you do if you had a burglar coming into your house?
I'd like to say to be but I wouldn't. I'd probably lock a door.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, I'd hide. Would you not?
And the police.
I mean, yeah, I'd try to run away. Probably, yeah.
If you've got a family, your first instinct would be to protect
defend
your family.
Them. Exactly.
Fine. And then.
And then run away.
And then run away. Later. But no, I mean. It's not worth it, is it? It's just not worth
Probably
it.
Probably not.
But do you think we're being rational when something like that happens?
No,
to
not
us?
At all. No, you can't. Yeah, it's all well and good us sitting here. Going,
I mean,
oh,
I'm sure everything goes super quickly in your head, and just, you know, you need to act at a certain point. So if hiding is the easiest way, then good for you, and you won't, you know, be in the news. But then if his option, easiest option was to grab a knife, I'm like. Mm.
Yeah, and people have different instincts. I mean, I talked about on this show a few weeks ago the moped gangs who are going around kind of taking people's phones off, snatching them off their hands, you know. I think most people's instinct would be to go, oh, damn, you know, it's gone.
Just fine. Take the phone.
Yeah, just take the phone.
Just it.
Some people, though, might try and grab them, pull them off the bike and fight back. You know, people respond differently.
That's true.
In these kind of things, but... To me, just to actually kill him I don't know. I don't really see how that can be defended, really. But
yeah, but that's it. You don't know if he was trying to kill. How many times did he stab him? It was just the once, wasn't it?
So
just the once, but so, like, you know.
Well,
yeah, once is enough.
But yeah, you're right. He might not have. He probably didn't know the severity of that. You know,
it's hard to tell, isn't
it? I'm actually surprised a 78-year-old man managed to kill a 37-year-old.
That is quite shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure about the fit, how fit they were, but still, it is pretty surprising, and it's, I mean, yeah, it's really sad because you wouldn't think it would happen. I mean, the other way around.
So everyone's come to this guy's defense, though. I've not seen too many people who are trying to stick the boot into Richard Osborne Brooks, are they? Everyone seems to be going, no, you're kind of was pretty justified, it seems.
Yeah.
But then again, we don't have all the facts, but
it's probably an easier target is what it is, you know. Someone who breaks into someone's home, people are gonna the sort of people who would get riled up about that sort of thing would be more inclined to come out and attack him, you know. But yeah, as you say, I think there are a lot of people who don't think it was necessary. But I think the most important thing you've probably, like you touched on, is actually it probably was an accident.
Mm.
So
unless and that's Richard that's what Osborne the case is for, probably. Some lunatic stabbing. He was ready to stab anyone, maybe. I doubt he was, but you just don't know.
We are wrapping up our show today with Cat Cafe opening in East London on Bethnal Green Road, the Lady Dinas Cat Emporium. Have you been to a cat cafe before?
I haven't, no.
I've never heard of this.
Okay, so I have not in London, actually, but in Japan.
Sounds like something that would be in Japan, doesn't it?
Right, yeah. Right. I was actually surprised we didn't have one in East London yet. But so basically, it is a bit of a, you know, going to a museum, because you end up, I mean... we had to pay for an entrance, and then you get a free drink, which was fine. And then you are surrounded by cats.
How many cats are we talking?
We're talking about around 10 cats.
Really?
So it's quite a lot. I mean, the space in Japan was relatively small. I'm not sure about this one. I've never been.
Am I right in thinking you're not allowed to go up to them? They have to come to you?
Exactly. That's what they say. So,
so why is that?
Because you don't, you know, want to... Obviously, it's in a cafe... So the space is relatively small for them anyway.
Right.
So you wouldn't add, you know, the fact that you have to hold them. And so basically you try to come and let them come at you.
Mm.
But I was a little surprised. I mean, it was my first experience. And sometimes you get a bit frustrated because you can see that all the cats are just going to one same person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, really? So did I just pay the, you know, the just a fee to get in?
To get ignored.
Cats are funny.
By a group of
cats are like that.
To get ignored. But then the thing is that cats have this power to relax you and to make you, you know, chill out. I'm not sure how you are. I mean, you like cats.
I'm a cat person.
I'm
more of a dog person, but I do quite like cats. But I don't think cats particularly like me, because I treat cats like I treat dogs. So I'll just pick them up and
they don't like that one.
Overly stroke them and kind of annoy them, I think, to be honest.
Well, you would be surprised, because I love cats and I thought they loved me. And then I ended up in this Japanese cafe and they were just like, okay, not really, maybe coming just to me to have a little...
Did none of the cats come up to you?
They did in the end.
Oh,
but then obviously,
was that pity? Was it out of those cats? Oh, we better come
I'm not sure. As I said, there were quite a few cats there. So because the space is relatively small, they end up, you know, coming around you. And if you just come go in for a quick stroke, they would, you know, maybe possibly stay closer. But yeah, I mean, this one is a vintage style cafe for feline lovers. Did you have some nice reviews?
It's funny actually, because I went on the TripAdvisor page, and there's quite a lot of reviews. And it seems like virtually every review has perfect.
Oh, of course
in the title.
It does. Of
I
course.
Mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
So
it's quite interesting. There's one review that I picked out that's quite interesting. So I'll just read it if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
The idea of a cafe with some cool lazy cats lounging around is a good one, but it's tough to pull off. Cats are unpredictable with lots of personality, so don't always play ball with a bunch of weird cat lovers who stick iPhones in their face. By 4 p.m, most of these cats are not in the best mood and seem pretty fed up of being petted. No surprises, really. You typically have to earn a cat's affections. House cats are more prone to stress, anxiety, and it goes on. Just don't expect these felines to come purring around your legs while you sip your tea. Lovely cake.
Right.
I just like the lovely cake at the end.
Yeah,
the lovely
sentence. Yeah, you actually raised a good thing about cats. I mean, I felt something that I didn't really like about this cat cafe was that I thought sometimes they were a bit, you know, drowsy. Like
they've been drugged.
Sleepy. Yeah. I mean, it feels like...
Do you think they've been trafficked in and they're there against their will?
I mean, I'm sure they wouldn't in London.
Surely not.
But they're not allowed out, presumably.
They're not allowed out. No, this is...
But it is a bit weird, you know. It is a bit weird. Anyway, let's hope this one is a great cat cafe.
Where is it?
It's on Bethnal Green Road.
Of course it is.
So...
There are a few.
Not far from Brick Lane, actually.
Yeah,
and,
of course it is. Just up the road from the cereal
and
cafe.
And if booking's are essential. But there's an entry fee and 90 minutes with the cats and a cup of tea or something.
How much it costs to get in?
So let me check for you.
I might go with that.
It'd make a good present, I think.
Yeah.
Like something a bit different.
Someone who's a bit stressed out.
£10 per person.
Tenner, get in for a cup of tea and a stroke of a cat.
Yeah, you see.
I don't know about that.
So, and you can buy gift vouchers to visit, you know, with a friend or something. They have lovely cakes, as Michael mentioned.
Lovely cake.
And so, yeah, we could actually just, you know.
Yeah, I've got to say, if I paid a tenner, I'd want a cat, like, to come up to me. I wouldn't want to be ignored.
Yeah. Definitely. I'd want a cat on each.
Okay,
kick
so
my chair,
so
cat
Mike,
my head,
Mike,
my hair, my shoulders.
You're probably going to check this out later this afternoon, then.
Yeah, maybe we'll present the next show from there.
I'll let you know how it went.
Yeah,
I might. Yeah, see.
Michael, what are your plans for the rest of the day?
I'm going to swiftly watch the football. My team, Southampton, are playing against Chelsea right now, and then it's my sister's birthday, so we're going for a meal.
Happy
this
birthday!
Happy birthday to your sister.
It should be nice. And I haven't actually got her a present yet, so hopefully she's not listening because, I've got to quickly buy her a present. So
you probably dropped yourself in it there, didn't you?
I really have, haven't I?
Great. It was absolutely lovely to present the show with you guys.
And you.
Have a lovely weekend, and I hope I'll see you soon.
Yes,
thank
you guys. Bye.